Okay, I'd like to call to order this meeting today, Thursday, August 18, 2022, at 11:56. The regular board meeting of the Housing Authority of the City of Austin. Regular board meeting of the Austin Affordable Housing Corporation. Regular board meeting of the Austin Affordable PFC Inc. And the regular board meeting of the South Congress PFC. Regular board meeting Southwest Housing Compliance Corporation. And roll call, Mr. Gerber, did you?
Yes, ma'am. I'll proceed. Commissioner Duncan Hall.
Present.
Commissioner Carrington.
Present.
Commissioner Apostolo.
Present.
Commissioner Bailey.
Here.
And Commissioner Ritchie. Given Commissioner Ritchie's absence and given that Mr. Bailey is calling virtually to be compliant with state law, Commissioner Apostolo will be serving as chair for this meeting, for the HACA part of the meeting, and then Commissioner Carrington will be serving as chair for the parts of the meeting for which she has got lead commissioner responsibility.
Okay. Certification of a quorum.
The quorum is certified, and we're ready to proceed.
Okay. If we could all stand, pledge you allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You all were facing me. I felt pretty honored there.
Okay. For public communication, is there anyone? There will be a 3-minute time limitation.
Madam Chair, I don't believe we have any public comment that we've received. Nydia just confirming no one from the public
is okay.
Speak. We'll come back and revisit that prior to when we get to action items.
Okay, so now we're going into executive session.
Thank you. Madam Chair, we're going to go into executive session actually under Southwest Housing Compliance Corporation as well as under the Housing Authority of the City of Austin. So under both, we'll be going into executive session. Compliant with state law, we're required to read, Madam Chair, under your authority, that the board the Housing Authority of the City of Austin and Southwest Housing Compliance Corporation may go into executive session pursuant to Section 551.071 of the Texas Government Code for consultations with attorney regarding legal advice, pending or contemplated litigation or settlement offer. B, Section 551.072 of the Texas Government Code, discussion about the purchase, exchange, lease, or value of real property. Section 551.074 of the Texas Government Code, to discuss the appointment, employment, evaluation, reassignment, duties, discipline, or dismissal of a public officer or employee, or to hear a complaint or charge against any officer or employee, as well as Section 551.087 of the Texas Government Code to discuss certain economic development negotiations. Madam Chair, with your approval, we'll go into executive session at 12:07, and we do expect to return to open session at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
So we will now go into executive session, and we thank all of you for being patient. We'll see you all at 1 o'clock.
Okay, we are back now. Regular board meeting of the Housing Authority of the City of Austin. And it is 1:38. And Mr. Gerber?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There was no action taken in executive session for either Southwest Housing Compliance Corporation or for the Housing Authority of the City of Austin. Madam Chair, using your authority, we'll call on the CY Advisory Board President Lupe Garcia to give us an update. Welcome, Lupe.
Thank you. Nice to see everybody. Hey, I'm going to be reading the minutes from July because there was no minutes for August. So the meeting was called to order at 10:32. Presentations was Michael Roth mentioned the heat advisory. COVID-19 cases have increased. Rosewood Court updates and HUD inspections. Dorothy Doolittle and Anne-Marie Ellis are Deputy Registrar's Assistant People to Register for Vote and are available to go on property. Sylvia Blanco encouraged people to check on their neighbors during the heat advisory and support management during the HUD inspection. Announced that LIH waiting list is opening. Haka Community Development Announcements. Leilani Villegas announced scholarships award ceremony Friday, July the 15th, and there'll be a diaper drive for families with children from 0 to 1 year old. Leilani gave Bringing Home Health Care updates. Robert Jackson provided Youth Education and Success updates. Robert Jackson provided Rosewood Home Ownership Program updates. Murphy Rowland provided Workforce Development, IDATS, and IMIMES updates. Nancy Garcia, June 29th is the last day of Summer Youth Employment Program. The new business was Evelyn Holmes, no citywide or resident council meeting in August, and to start planning for the national NIL. Lupe discussed the Women's Conference and the IMOMs. The meeting was adjourned at 11:48 a.m.
Thank you, Lupe. Are there any questions from any of the commissioners? Commissioner Bailey, anything? Any questions anyone has? I had two quick questions I wanted to ask. One is actually of Leilani, who I know has been supporting some of the citywide's efforts. Can you all give us an update? Let the board know about the diaper donation. It was a big donation, and that's exciting for our families that have children in need of diapers.
Sure. So the Housing Authority of the City of Austin was the recipient from a partnership between Home Aid and Builders for Babies. And they donated 44,000 diapers to the Housing Authority. So we had to secure two storage units to have all of the inventory and had to have them in categories and sizes. We identified the families not just for PBRA, but also our housing choice voucher, Section 8. So any family that had children between 0 to 3 years old received a box of diapers and two baby wipes. We still have a few left. They're stored at Selena, but out of the, 100 box, I don't know, maybe 200 boxes, maybe we have about 30 left. So we're still identifying, and I mentioned to Lupe, if there are any other women that are pregnant can also get the newborn baby diapers to store them before the child is born. So we were identified because they had attended, I believe, one of the Haka scholarship ceremonies. One of the sponsors attended, and they knew that we had families, and out of the entire, I guess, spectrum, they chose Haka to be the top recipient. So it was a great honor because I was there. It was at Cover 3 when they did that announcement, and they raised over $60,000 for it.
Wow.
Excellent.
Great.
So we hope that next year, we'll be more equipped. We weren't equipped for the space. That's why we had to get an extra storage. We weren't equipped for that, but it is our hope that they will continue that year after year. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd also like to ask Leilani and maybe Aunt Sylvia, as well as Lupe and Commissioner Alfasolo, Chairman Alfasolo, to the conversation. It's obviously been brutally hot. How are folks doing at the properties? Santa Rita, of course, is one of our oldest. The very kind of product we're trying to replace, and Santa Rita will be next after Rosewood, hopefully, if our feasibility analysis works out. But can you share with us a little bit about how residents are doing and coping with the extreme heats?
We're doing pretty good. I did make sure that all the seniors had fans, so I did call upon a sponsor, and they brought fans for all of them. So I did make sure that happened. But everyone else was doing okay. Everybody has an AC unit, and then we've got a couple, maybe three more AC units for other residents there. So we did pretty good.
Great. Anything you would like to share?
I guess it was extremely hot for the staff, I will be honest. We were out there. We tried to keep it outdoors because the COVID cases have been rising, not just with the community, but also within Haka staff. So because of the fact that it happened in August, so we had the diaper drive, and on top of that, the back-to-school supply drives that all came together at once. And it was the highest, I think, the record-breaking heat. So we try to really distribute. We try to do the drive-through, but we do recognize that not all our families have a vehicle. So we still had to stand there and do the distribution. So I will not lie. It was pretty hot, but we try to keep it under 3 hours and try to come back to the community room, make sure we had a supply of water. We did it, but it did take a toll on staff because of the heat.
Now we'll say on the maintenance side, what we always do is we encourage our maintenance staff to come in earlier in the morning and take care of groundskeeping, for example, and that way they're not out there in the height
and
of the heat.
In the afternoon.
And of course, we're always reminding them to hydrate. I think the hydration breaks very often.
Well, on behalf of the residents, thank you, Haka. Everybody who was out there distributing diapers or whatever, helping our residents, we appreciate it. And I know it was hot, and it's unbearable to be out there even for 5 minutes. So it's appreciated. Thank you very much. And thank you for the food. People are still asking about the food from the
Women's Conference.
Yes. You did great right there. A plus.
Yeah. It's a fellow chef that I know. Help us with that. So that's great. Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
So I just have three things to say. First of all, I want to thank you for our new roof.
Oh, yeah.
And all the great workers that were out there. There were so many. It was super hot. Second of all, I want to thank all the maintenance men before the HUD inspection. And on Saturday, I and some other residents got together, and we cooked, and we fed all of them.
Oh,
wonderful.
Even Michael Roth. So I want to thank you for that. And I also want to announce that I'm very proud. We're going to our 6 months for iMoms, and it's at no less than 25 ladies every month up to 40.
Oh,
and so thank you so much for all the support and good job, and very happy for the roof.
And this board supported iMoms.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Is there sufficient resources for?
For now, yes, right? We're budgeting, but yes. Yeah, learn how to budget, but yeah.
We're having the big celebration September 13th, celebrating 6 months.
Good.
Yes. So.
Well, if you need more, you know people. So.
And that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you so
much,
y'all.
Here.
Thank you. Well, and Mike, and I don't know if this has come up before, at the TAF conference, the Affiliation of Affordable Housing Providers, that conference is always in July, and one of the things that's done at that conference is award scholarships. And that raises money for scholarships. And the first one that was named is a Haka resident at Munshaka Village.
Naisha Jenkins won the Pop Award, $7,500. So they did a video. It kind of fell in my lap because Ken was out of town. So we did an actual video. It was like we were there for a couple of hours, and they, she won the very top scholarship. So she's going to Houston Tillotson College, getting her degree in business administration.
Wow.
Working full time at Goodwill. So.
Yeah, and she's about to graduate.
Yes, next year.
And Leilani was on the video, and she does very well. Very enthusiastic. So I was just thrilled to see a Haka resident be the top winner.
And you were able to congratulate her.
And then as soon as it was over, I made a beeline and congratulated her.
And she was running. She's like, somebody from Haka was there, and I know she's very important. And I said, and I named everybody. I was like, who is it, you know? She's like, I don't. So I will definitely go back, and as soon as we're done here.
Yeah, her husband was there.
Yeah.
And
she has five, or almost six children. Six children, yeah.
Very heartwarming.
Well, separate from that, all that great work. Good job.
Thank you.
By the way, great work.
Thank you. Thank you.
But more importantly, let's talk about Leilani for a second. I think, I don't know if I shared with you all, but Sylvia and I have both asked Leilani recently to join us as a member of the executive team for the agency, as well as an indicative of the significant work that she does and her division does, and it's very appropriate. She's been here for a number of years now, really, you know, doing
almost four.
And it's, well, 4 years it's been, too. But thanks for stepping up, and thanks for taking, you know, executive members don't just focus on their area, but they're really, you know, ambassadors for the agency as a whole, and also looking at really the whole picture. And so I'm grateful to have your counsel and being part of it and getting to do some of the fun stuff with us too. So it'd be nice.
That's great. Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Continue under your
great. Mike, before you get going, something that, as Luby said, that I didn't quite catch, that they were delivering fans. I assume that all the units at our older units have got air conditioning.
All of our units do have air conditioning, but some have window units still.
Yeah, they're window units, Commissioner Bailey, at Santa Rita with.
I wanted to make sure that they didn't have anything. We were just giving them some fans, and that's fine. I don't know why we'd be delivering fans, where they would go, but as long as we have either any kind of air conditioning, that's all I care about.
As far as I know, at Santa Rita, everybody has at least one window unit, and these were her sponsors who bought the fans. And since Ms. Lupa knows everybody there, she knows, well, you know, just anybody who wanted one, they had enough. More than
Well, no, we got air conditioning and I got fans going everywhere. So I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't missing something. Okay, thanks.
So, Commissioners, we're now going to, as we reopen public communication under the HACA agenda. Is there any member of the public wishing to make comment to the HACA board or to any of our subsidiary boards under public comment? I see a number 9172. I just want to make sure that everyone sent an invitation that would like to.
Bill Walter.
Is that Bill?
No, that's not Bill's there.
Okay. Great. Then hearing going once, going twice, there's no one wishing to give general public comment, so we'll proceed to our agenda. And I ask you all to bear with us as we go kind of slowly on this. We're going to start with Rosewood Courts, which we're excited to bring to you. We'll be turning over the running of the meeting to Commissioner Carrington as chair of Austin Affordable PSC, and we're going to take up Austin Affordable PSC first. The only item on that agenda there's two items. One's the consent agenda, public comment consent agenda. I'll leave it to you. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Garber.
Okay.
On the Austin Affordable PSC, we have certified a quorum, been called to order. First item, number one, is the consent agenda, which is the minutes of March 24th, 2022. Any comments, questions about those minutes? If not, do I hear a motion that the minutes of March 24th, 2022 are approved?
I so move.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Like sign? Okay, thank you. The one action item for Austin Affordable PFC is number two, and it's resolution 00093, and it authorizes the issuance, sale, and delivery of multifamily housing revenue bonds for the pathways at Rosewood Courts East, Series 2022 of the bonds, authorizing the execution and delivery of documents and instruments necessary to carry out the financing of such multifamily residential rental development, and containing other provisions. So with that, I think, Ms. Gass, are you doing this listening? Okay.
Take it away.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Commissioners and staff and guests. My name is Ann Gass. I'm the Director of Strategic Housing Initiatives for the Housing Authority. You have seen Rosewood several times for various approvals, but this is the final request for approval of four resolutions for redevelopment and bond issuance to allow us to close on this real estate transaction. As you know, the redevelopment of Rosewood has been 10 years in the making, starting with the Choice Neighborhood Grant back in 2012. This process has included dozens, if not hundreds, of stakeholders, residents, neighbors, local houses of worship, various city departments, elected officials, HACA staff. And just in the past couple of years, we've added our developer partner, Carlton Companies. Will Henderson and Jonathan Gary are on the Zoom call if we have any questions for them, but you know them very well from Chalmers Courts. They've been a great team over there, and they brought the same expert group to us with Rosewood. So I just want to tell you today a little bit about what we have planned. Is there a clicker for the presentation? Or should I just say next slide? All right, next slide, please. So what we have here is a site plan. This is the final site plan. And just to orient you, along the north is Rosewood Avenue, and that faces north along the top. And then Chacon Street runs diagonally to our left. The top left corner is the commemorative park, and this will be used for programming to commemorate the very rich history of Rosewood Courts. The dark orange building that you see at the top left of that top building is a welcome center, and we are now working with some local stakeholders to develop programming again to commemorate the rich history of Rosewood. The other orange that you see in that top building is the amenity space, and that includes an activity room, a service provider office, a computer lab, a fitness center, and then the rest of that top building is all multifamily. So the blue is all the units. Just to the south, you'll see a parking lot, and then below that, in the middle, is two other multifamily buildings. Those make up a total of 164 units, 1, 2, 3, and 4 bedrooms. To the left in the corner, you see our historic district. So these are existing buildings. This is what you'd see if you were looking at it from a bird's eye view today. These units will be restored on the outside to look very similar to what they looked like in 1939. The inside will be brought up to modern standards. So air conditioning, hallelujah, will be in all of these units, as well as modern appliances, accessibility. These units will look, when you walk into one of these, you won't know the difference from one of these to one of the other multifamily buildings. The bottom right along Paquito Street, the light orange, yellow buildings are our homeownership units. And we've talked to you all about these before. We're partnering with Habitat for Humanity. There are 12 townhouse style duplexes. These are all 3 and 4 bedroom units. So this is the big picture. Let's take you in a little bit closer. Got a couple fun pictures on the next slide. We have a view from Rosewood Avenue. So if you were standing on Rosewood Avenue and Chacon was to your right, this is what you would see. On the left is the Welcome Center. Beautiful, beautiful building we've got there. The 3 stories above are units, and that bottom is the Welcome Center and the office. Off to the right, it's cut off a little bit by the Zoom features, but that's the commemorative park. So beautiful trees, and up behind it, you would see some of those preservation units. So really a gorgeous design that Nelson Partners has put together for us. On the next slide, we have a unit rendering, and Nelson Partners put this together for us to give us an idea of what the finishes will look like. You may notice this looks a lot like Chalmers Courts. The appliances look a little brown here, but the appliances are black, brown cabinets and the vinyl wood floors. And as I said before, although we do have different kinds of units and the historic preserved units and the multifamily, they will all have these similar finishes and look very much the same. And this was created with input from the residents. At resident meetings, we gave them some different scenarios, different design options, and this is what the consensus was. And we also applied lessons learned from Chalmers. You know, some things worked, some things didn't. So that's been taken into account for the design of Rosewood. Next slide, please. I always like to give you guys a little bit of data. So as you can see here, we currently have 124 units at Rosewood. The new multifamily will be 184 units, so we're adding 60 units. And I put the square footage is there. Suffice it to say, they are much bigger than they used to be, but at least by a couple hundred square feet. One thing you'll also notice is that we currently have 8 zero-bedroom units. We have asked HUD to allow us to get rid of the efficiencies and go to all and change those to 1 bedrooms. We expect approval. We haven't gotten it yet, but I would expect that we would. So the efficiency units were just about 400 square feet. So, you know, the smallest 1 bedroom is 668. So that's a significant improvement for those families. And then we have 12 homeownership units for a total of 196 units. And as we have in the past, when you add all those units together, more than half of them are family-sized units, or 2, 3, and 4 bedrooms. So we really want to make sure that families can stay in the neighborhood.
And Anne, is it correct to say that everybody who is moving from Rosewood and returns is going to find that they're going to have a unit that's bigger?
Yes.
When they left.
Yes. Unless their family has gotten smaller and they're in a smaller unit, yes, they will have the same unit. And since you brought it up, we have right now only 11 families left at Rosewood. Our relocation team has been working very, very hard to find homes for everybody. And by the end of the month, Rosewood should be empty and fenced off and ready to be redeveloped. So I don't know if Tiffany Middleton was able to get on the call, but I want to call out the hard work that she and the team have done. It's not easy to find places for everyone to go, and they've done some great work.
And question on the homeownership units. Will those be offered first
to the residents at Rosewood, or how will we be marketing?
They will be offered first. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. No. They will be offered first to the residents at Rosewood, other HACA families, and then finally to other low-income families that are eligible. Habitat will be doing the marketing. Habitat for Humanity will be doing the marketing. Sylvia, do you want to give any detail about that? Any more detail?
So, yeah, they are working hand-in-hand with some of our Awesome Pathways team members in identifying those families that meet the income range and working with them on their credit scores, just getting them prepared. We have about roughly a year, so we are making very concerted efforts to target these 12 homeownership units to our Rosewood families and also to our greater HACA families, whether it's in our PBRA properties or also in our Housing Choice Voucher Program, or also in Ron and Suzanne's portfolio as well. So those are going to be, again, top priority for our HACA families. If for some reason we just cannot fill all 12 with HACA families, then we will go to the Habitat waiting list. And we want to prioritize families that have ties to East Austin.
Do we know the price range yet of those homeownership units?
They're not completely final because obviously with interest rates and whatnot. But for the three-bedroom homes, we're looking at about $165,000-$175,000 range. And then the one four-bedroom home will be just under $200,000.
Will we have some design say-so with Habitat so that it's consistent with what's being done over there in the redevelopment?
Yes.
So, yes, we have Donna Carter and Associates, who has been taking the lead in creating the design, the elevations, and also the floor plans. And we are having the Habitat team just make sure that it fits within their build model. So we're going to want to do the volunteer build model. So we want to make sure that it's something that's easy to build for volunteers as well. Mm-hmm. So yes, we are working very closely, and Donna Carter and her team are taking the lead on that.
Thank you.
All right, and the next
slide. Savings is there by using Habitat to assist with this or partner with this?
Well, it's allowing the homes to be sold at affordable rates for families that are at 60 to 80% median family income. Otherwise, you know, most home builders wouldn't be able to meet that sort of population.
Without the volunteers.
Correct. And just their build model overall. So that was key. We really wanted to make sure that these were truly affordable homeownership opportunities for families.
I've seen several of their homes. In fact, I got to work on a couple as volunteer. So I'm very pleased with their projects.
I'm hoping that there'll be an opportunity for our staff in some way, shape, or form to participate in the build. I think there'll be some really thoughtful team building and just goodwill.
Probably. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there will be. There will be, for sure.
On the next slide, again, a little more data. I like to show you what the affordability will be. So the tax credit income limits here that we're going to apply, as you can see, the split between 30, 50, and 60%. I do want to make the point, though, that of these units, all but 10 are subsidized through PBRA or project-based vouchers. So despite the fact that we could be 30, 50, or 60% of area median income, ultimately, all but 10 residents will only pay 30% of their income in rent. So that's of course, really important. And the other 10 that aren't subsidized are at 60% of AMI, area median income. Then our last slide is the funding sources. This has a couple extra unusual funding sources that I wanted to describe to you. So we, you generally, if you see debt, and a construction bridge loan and a tax credit equity. Those are all pretty standard parts of any deal that we've brought to you. We have a couple different funding sources with this project. The City of Austin is contributing, we expect to contribute, $9.2 million towards this project. The final approval for those funds, we've taken them a long way. The final approval comes with a vote on September 1st, but we are confident, knocking on wood, we are confident that this $9.2 million will be approved. And then HACA is putting in $10 million of our own funds to this project. I wanted to make sure to point out that of that $10 million, that part of that is being used to pay off the current loan at Rosewood. Rosewood has a mortgage now. And then the sources of this are two. One is, you may remember that several years ago we sold to our 21 scattered site homes to the City of Austin. So the proceeds from those scattered site homes are going into this deal. And then additionally,
what's the total?
And then the balance is coming from when we closed Chalmers West, we had some public housing restricted reserves that because it was our last RAD deal that came out of that deal. So the balance of the HACA contribution will come from those restricted reserves.
Which is exciting. So when you look at the back of the board book and you see our restricted reserves, which everyone's always concerned about, you're not going to see that decline. This is money that we've already had. Commissioner Bailey, this is money that we've already had set aside in anticipation of this. So we've taken care to set those aside and to meet any anticipated liabilities that we have. So that's.
Had we not sold those single family homes, we would have been dipping into those reserves some to accomplish this, wouldn't we?
Maybe. We might have gone and asked the city for some more money. We might have gone and done other things. You know, it's hard to say, but every deal is sort of where you are at that moment. And we felt like this was important for us to preserve because these resources are available. We want to save as much as we can, though, even on this. Don't put this in the minutes, but we want to, we want the city to pay for as much as we can because we want to use our money down the road for Santa Rita coming next and then Lakeside. So there's always going to be other deals to come. And the longer we can hold on to those things and find other sources, that's a win. But this seemed appropriate because these were hard to use dollars.
Hey, Mike, I do have a couple of questions, and that's, I think that what you just answered one of my questions. Is this is a RAD project, right?
Everything's now been converted to RAD, correct.
And so we can take those reserves that are reserves that are not just to be used for anything and use it for a RAD product. I mean, that just makes sense to me.
Right. So only in this case, Commissioner Bailey, only the reserves that we had for Rosewood Court set aside, we're able to use those for this project. But we also had a little bit of extra that did have some fungibility. That's what Ann was talking about, left over from the old public housing program for Chalmers that we were able to jump into this deal as well. So it's that, really reserves.
Were those RAD monies?
Public housing.
They were old public housing money that we got told use for affordable housing purposes where you see fit. So we were given flexibility within our now entirely converted portfolio to use it where we felt was appropriate. Same was true with those houses. When we sold those houses, which were also in the public housing program, public housing doesn't just have to be apartments. It can be houses as well. So when we sold those, HUD said, okay, just take the money and use it for wherever you think the best affordable housing work you all are doing, where these hours would best be plugged in. So that's where we really sort of compiled it. Did I say that correctly? Yeah.
And the other money from unrestricted reserves?
I don't believe we're taking much, if anything, from unrestricted reserves, are we?
Correct. Correct. It's coming. The scattered site homes were restricted to affordable housing use, and the Chalmers West RAD proceeds were restricted to affordable housing use. So they both had restrictions to a certain extent.
So we had what we needed in this case.
Okay. And nothing out of the $32 million that's...
Right. 35, correct. Yeah, nothing and, nothing out of there.
And then on the... And I may have missed part of this, but where Ann was talking about going to HUD for permission to change the efficiencies. If they're RAD and they belong to us, why do we have to go to HUD for anything?
They're part of our HAP contract. Our HAP contract allows us to voucher for certain units. And so if we want to continue to be able to voucher for them, we have to get their permission to change them to one bedrooms. And I'll admit, and HUD has admitted, it seems a little silly to have to ask for permission. But it is what they require, and so there's just a couple hoops to jump through. But we don't expect them to deny that request because it is ultimately better quality of life for the residents at no cost to HUD.
No, I just was, it was always my understanding that once they washed their hands of public housing, we took it over, it was ours. And I just was curious as to why we had to get permission.
Yeah, they washed their hands of the public housing piece of it, but now we're in another part of HUD, the multifamily piece of it. They're more sophisticated about it, and you're right, and that's why I'm saying, yeah, those folks whom we've asked permission of have said, it is kind of silly, but we've gotten into a cadence here of really asking HUD. It's just frankly easier. Some of the stuff seems, benign enough, and why bother? But in many cases, we find it's just easier to ask the permission, and I think they know we're responsive. It also makes us, I was going to come across wrong, but I know they, I think they have confidence and trust in us, and we look less being like we're being tricky. We're pretty straightforward about what we're trying to do and how we're trying to do it. Same is true with the city. We're trying to just shoot straight with them about what we need and what we're trying to do, I think that's paid off generally. It might not one day, but today it seems to.
I'm not the one who's got to deal with them, so while I got reservations about some of that.
It's a hassle not to ask. But
it seems to be, anyway, since I had to file my last financial report, it only took me a minute or two, so they finally figured out, don't send me anything. It's going to take me hours and hours and hours.
You've heard us talk about a capital stack over the years, and what you're seeing right here is exactly that. So here's the stack that we've built to go and finance.
I don't know that I was aware of it, but the way you explained it makes sense to me. And then one last question. How many units in Rosewood are we going to put up for sale?
12. 12.
And we're going to use Habitat for Humanity to promote those.
Yes, sir.
Have we ever done that before?
No.
This is a first for us. This is a first in this space. But it's a shared equity arrangement. So we're looking to create a homeownership opportunity and to help a family to generate the benefits of homeownership.
Yeah.
But to experience the joys and challenges of homeownership. But we're also looking to we retain ownership of the land. We it's not your traditional house, so they're not going to be able to flip it. They're not going to be able to do things. So.
Condominium regime.
Yeah, it's a condominium style approach.
They will be able to sell them, though.
Yes.
Will they be able to sell them?
Yes, working with us.
There are limitations.
Yep. And is there, like in Miller, there's a certain amount that can come back to the family because of appreciation. So we're going to structure ours, something like that.
Absolutely. And that's why we went with Habitat, because they know how to do that. So, yeah. So we're going to have
to. Yeah, that raises more questions. But there's a reason, I assume, that we're doing them as, what do you say?
Condominiums.
Condominiums. I mean, why are we doing that?
Well, because that retains the affordability, and we're again to retain the land. We retain ownership of the land, and we're going to be selling the improvements. And that's the condominium structure made the most sense. And it again also allows for capping of the equity per year, so that it remains affordable in perpetuity if there was any type of selling of the condo. So the next owner will also be able to benefit from the affordability of the unit.
And Bill Walter, I think, is on. Bill, do you want to highlight why we're going this route?
But I think that's all accurate. I think there were also development constraints in that some of the city requirements would have required platting that into separate units, and there may or may not have been, I think, enough property to accommodate this number of units were they to be platted per city requirement.
Okay. No, it seems more complicated than it needed to be, but again, as you've heard me say, I'm no real estate lawyer, and if Bill says it's okay with me.
In terms of design, is it going to look more like a townhouse or a square building?
It'll look more like a townhouse, and we'll be excited to bring you some renderings of those elevations. Those are still in flux right now. But, yes, they will be duplex style, so there will be a total of 6 buildings, 2 units per building.
Yeah, we're looking for, frankly, we're looking for a really cute, charming product that, with a porch and backyard. I mean, things that are going to be, it's a home. I mean, it's going to be a duplex, but it's going to be a home for someone that we hope they'll feel connected to for many, many, many years. We're excited about what's going to happen there. And it'll be very compatible with what's along Paquito Street. And there's always concerns about neighborhood compatibility, but there's a lot of, cute remodels that are happening along Paquito that, we want to build in that similar style. We don't want people to drive down the street and say, oh, they live in the Haga housing. They live in the, we want there to be pride. I mean, it'll look planned. I mean, there'll be similarities between the 12 houses to be sure, but it'll be I think a really nice product that people will take a lot of pride in living in. And it also holds that hope for if we do it there, as we look at other areas where we have some land, we're looking at one site now, we're thinking about, what other townhome, condominium, type structures we can create that would fit well, where you can't build, 4 stories up or 3 stories up, right, where you really need a house or a townhome looking type product. So that's what this will be a great test run for us. Okay, yes, ma'am.
So we had studios that we're converting to one bedrooms. Where's the square footage coming from to make them one bedroom, to increase the size?
Well, we're tearing everything down and building it new.
So we're not leaving any walls.
Right. Right. But the existing buildings, is that what you're talking about? That we're going to preserve and renovate?
No, I guess no. Never mind. You've answered my question.
Okay. Okay.
It'll be like Chalmers, knock it down.
Yeah. They'll be created in the new construction, new construction buildings.
Yeah. But even the preservation units, we're going to scoop out the insides, mm-hmm. really. And I don't think when you're standing in there, you'll know that you're in a cinder block box.
Let's go.
That's everything.
Great. So we're so pleased. The next several votes that you all are going to take are our final votes that you will take, hopefully in my natural lifetime, yours too, for the redevelopment of Rosewood Courts. And
Hey, Mike, how pleased you going to be if we all vote no?
Please don't.
There's something wrong with the connection, Commissioner Bailey. We can't
help that. Yeah, that's
you broke up, Chuck.
I know how that works. You've heard me say a million times. As soon as I'm not there, we own the shopping center, which we still
own. Madam Chair, we'd ask for your approval of resolution number 93.
I so move. Approval.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Well, that is the last item for the Austin Affordable PFC. So we need to close that. Well, I guess I need to ask if there's an executive session needed.
No, ma'am.
For Austin Affordable PFC. So I'm learning how to do this, Mike. So if not, then motion to close the meeting of Austin Affordable PFC at 2:17.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. So then we're moving to the South Congress.
Austin Affordable Housing Corporation.
Austin Affordable Housing Corporation. Okay. So back to my left.
Finish Rose with
question. Okay. So this is the board meeting of Austin Affordable Housing Corporation. It's been called to order. Quorum has been certified. Is there any public communication related to the business of Austin Affordable Housing Corporation?
We don't believe so. Just confirming, is there any member of the public wishing to speak to the board of Austin Affordable Housing Corporation? There is none, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Then moving to our first item, which is the consent item, and that is approving the board minutes of July 21st of 2022.
I so move.
Second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Couple of action items for Austin Affordable Housing, for Austin Affordable Housing Corporation. The first one is Resolution 00211, which allows AAHC to execute any and all documents necessary and desirable to facilitate the development of pathways at Rosewood Courts East. And it consists of, my place here, facilitate the development. Consists of affordable, consisting of affordable housing units to be constructed upon lease land ground lease from the Housing Authority. Cause AAHC's wholly owned subsidiary, limited liability company, Catherine Edwards Reports, to execute an amended and restated agreement of limited partnership. The third item is cause the partnership to enter into development financing of the project. And then the fourth item under this is cause AAHC or the general partner in the partnership to execute any further documentation as necessary to complete the consummation of the transaction. So with that.
Madam Chair, there's no staff presentation. We would ask for approval of resolution number 211.
Okay, so we're just going to move to approval of that. Okay.
I so move.
All right.
Second.
All right. Thank you. Any comments, questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Madam Chair, we would request that you go to the HACA agenda and wrap up the last item, which on Rosewood Courts. So, Chairwoman Apostolo.
Chairwoman Mary.
Oh.
So Chairwoman Apostolo, you've called to order, you've certified, we've done the pledge, we've done public communications. We have not done the approval of the board minutes for the board meeting held on July 21st, 2022. So we have asked for approval of the board minutes for the HACA board meeting from July 21st, 2022.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Bailey moves and Commissioner Carrington seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. And that's approved. Madam Chair, we'd ask you to go to the action items for on the Housing Authority of the City of Austin agenda. Action item number 2 is presentation, discussion, and possible action of Resolution 2757 by the Board of Commissioners of HACA approving the issuance of affordable housing of Austin Affordable Housing, PFC, of its multifamily housing revenue bonds for Pathways at Rosewood Courts, Series 2022. We'd ask for a motion to approve Resolution 2757.
I hear a motion.
So move.
Commissioner Carrington moves to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Duncan Hall seconds. Is there a discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it, and this item is approved. Item number 3 wraps up our Rosewood Courts votes today. It's presentation discussion, possible action on resolution number 2758 by the Board of Commissioners of HACA, authorizing HACA to take such actions necessary or convenient to facilitate the development of pathways at Rosewood Courts East, the project. We've asked for a motion to approve Resolution 2758.
So moved.
Commissioner Carrington moves to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Duncan Hall seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. Rosewood Courts is now approved and will proceed with construction. Woo-hoo! Travis Stoller, with your approval, we'll go back to, now we'll move to the Vega project and we'll turn it back over to Commissioner Carrington, who will serve as chair for South Congress PFC, who will take up item number two. By the way, can we just pause for a second? That is years in the making. And
yes. We did some clapping.
And when will we move to move dirt?
This fall.
So
we got to close it first.
Next month. Hopefully.
Coming soon.
Yeah.
Great job, Ann and team.
Yay. Let there be cake. Celebratory cake.
Yeah, the donut hole.
Okay. To South Congress PFC.
Thank you. The regular board meeting, the South Congress Public Facility Corporation. We've called the meeting to order. We've certified a quorum. Is there any public communication related to the business of South Congress PFC? Hearing none, we'll move to the consent agenda. One consent item is to approve the minutes of the board meeting of March the 24th, 2022.
I so move.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Moving to item number two, the action item, which is approving resolution 00012. And this will authorize the South Congress PFC to, number one, acquire a leasehold interest in certain real property located in Austin, which is a residential multifamily apartment development. Number two, sublease the land of Vega Avenue Phase 2. Facilitate the construction and operation of the project, and number three, execute any such further documentation as necessary or desirable, including any financing documentation to facilitate the development of the project. That would be, is that Mr. Ron or is that Ms. Suzanne?
Well, I'll take the lead, and if I screw up somewhere, Suzanne will certainly jump in and add to the comments, but thank you, Commissioner Carrington.
Suzanne, come join us at the table.
Well,
come
she can now that Ann's
coming. Here one is our Director of Development, Suzanne Schwertner.
Thank you all, Mr. Staff. Happy to come here before you to introduce Vega 2, which is phase 2 of our development on off of South Congress in Vega Avenue. Back in June of 2020, you all approved Vega 1, which has been under construction. And I'm happy to announce, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but we have probably our first units start leasing in December.
December.
So it's coming along quite nicely. And it was only right that we looked at the second phase of this. I'll go through the property a little bit here very quickly, but what I wanted to share with you, thanks to Mike and some of all of us, we pushed NRP really hard to really dig deep here and provide some deeper affordability on this phase too. We got some tremendous concessions, both through St. Andrews and through NRP to get this development done. It took us a little while longer to get this to you because of that, but we feel like we've got a really good product coming that's going to do some really cool things out in that area. So,
St. Andrews,
it is. I can't see that.
I can't read that.
Mike's he's got it. It's right.
It's right here. So St. Andrews.
That's it right there.
Right here.
Yep.
Okay.
So if you kind of know Travis Country is like up here. This is St. Andrews here. This is Vega right over here, and then it connects to Wave Cannon.
And so phase one is now marked?
That's this track here.
Okay. Phase this one is the white.
That's the white.
This is the big one.
Yes. Yes. Markson.
Okay.
And that's what's actually under construction. So,
right.
Commissioner Bailey, you've seen the development of this. You probably drive by it 6 times a week.
Yeah, every day.
Yeah, and then so this is just to the south west of it, just to the south of the property,
mm-hmm.
On that second track that we.
It extends all the way down to Patton Lane, which is down a little bit further south, and that'll be the second exit out on the development that will hit Patton Lane, that will then connect to Vega.
Mm-hmm. And Oak Hill Elementary School is right here.
That's correct. We back right
and
up to Oak Hill.
Another school, Regent School of Austin, kind of up the road there on Foster Ranch. So there's really three big schools. And then actually, if you go a little further, further down to near 71, there's actually a middle school.
Small
middle schools there, and then Patton Elementary is there too. Yep. So lots of education, lots of stuff happening there.
Yeah, and you also have Yeti's headquarters there, and AMD, I think, has a AMD, big
NXP, is right
there.
Well, and it's right next to the Southwest Medical Village.
Right.
That's where my doctor is.
Correct. Yeah. It's a really exciting project. And I'll tell you a little bit about it. It's going to be 334 units. We'll be providing 8 studios, 158 one-bedrooms, 104 two-bedrooms, and 64 three-bedroom, three-bath townhome units.
Wow.
NRP is our partners, and us will be delivering a minimum of 50% of these units below 80, with a commitment to do 10% of those units at 60% of AMI. Which we're really happy about.
Thank you for that effort. I noticed every single one of the new.
It's something that we told all our partners that we needed more deeper affordability if we were going to continue to do this, and they all balked and moaned and whined. But then at the end of the day, we held our own, and they all came back and said, "I think we can make this work."
And why was that? Because I think Ron and Suzanne were both saying, we don't want to have to go back and explain to Tyra what that
is. But it's the right.
I knew I had to comment on it.
But it's right. It was the right thing to do. And I think the other important thing to understand, too, is that the agreement to proportionately put those across all the unit mm-hmm. mixes, so we have the same amount of affordability in our three-bedroom units that we do, in our two-bedrooms that we do, in our one-bedrooms in our studios. And they're true affordable in that we make sure it's all household incomes combined that qualify, not just one head of household, as previous deals were done way back, which got, you know, these structures in trouble to begin with. So,
I think it's going to hold us in good stead when the public is aware of this, in addition to all the other affordable businesses. I know that 80% sounds very reasonable, but under 60% sounds much more reasonable.
I think the other thing I wanted to share with you all is, in this particular project, the three bedrooms are going to be all townhomes, rentable townhomes. The asking price when we started this was a little bit north of $4,000 a unit. We suspect that will be probably closer to $5,000 by the time this is done.
Right.
But we are putting 10% of those units at 60 and another 10% of those at 80. So we'll be able to serve 14 to 15 families at a minimum, and talking to our partners as things develop and as we see where NOI falls, because we really think we're going to achieve, you know, it's going to be a balance of construction and NOI, that we can even fudge those a little bit better, but at least that's a minimum commitment. So we can really do some really cool things on the townhomes. They're going to be absolutely beautiful when they're designed, and they're over 2,000 square foot. And like I said, they'll be probably $5,000, and we'll be renting them for probably sub $2,000 a month, you know, or maybe a little bit less to families of, you know, larger family sizes. So vouchers, of course, will be accepted there as they are at all our properties. So kudos to St. Andrews, who was also open to us doing a deeper affordability on phase two. So we're really excited about that. JP Morgan Chase is going to be doing our the equity, along with NRP is going to put some money in, and PNC is doing our debt of about $62 million. we're anticipated, should this get approved today, that we'll be closing in the next week or two, or toward maybe first part of September, first week of September. We're still working through the project. It's going to have a tremendous amount of amenities, and a very nice style resort pools, and you know, grilling stations. We've seen all the bells and whistles of these nice apartments. I don't know if I need to. Nothing really out of the ordinary, other than everything's going to be very, very, very pretty, and it's going to look really great. And again, very close to employment sectors all up and down Southwest Parkway and others. And I think we're very excited about the prospects of this one. This is a PFC structure, so we'll be subleasing the land that St. Andrews owns, the land here, and they'll be leasing it to us. In turn, we'll be leasing it to our partnership. And along with the building as well. So we'll basically be the landlord in this structure of the land and the improvements.
Is this for 99 years?
This is for 99 years, yes, ma'am. And then at the end of it, the difference here is because it's St. Andrews property, the asset itself will revert back to St. Andrews. And I suspect in 99 years I'll figure out a way to where we can negotiate and keep it for another 99, but I'll let you know that in 99 years. if that happens. So, and again, we're planning on starting construction probably in October if all goes well and we get this approved today. And we're really excited. I'm happy to answer questions if you have any, and Suzanne's here as well to answer questions as well.
This looks like it's going to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to, when we're ready to go on Vega 1, I think it would be fun to take you all out to take a tour. The views of the top floors of the affordable units looking over downtown on Southwest is just absolutely and NRP just builds a tremendous product. They really, really build a quality. There's no cuts in this design and the construction. It's very, very impressive. All of their developments we've done. So this is as you all know, we did South Congress. That's how we decided on South Congress PFC. That was our first one with them. We have the project at Highland Mall, by the ACC campus, which is going very well. And then we also have this one here, Vega 1, which is about done, soon. So, and we're very impressed with the communication, with their work ethic with us, and how they've completed their project. So
they'll just move their construction crew from Vega 1 to Vega 2.
Yep. And we're getting some very good value adds there, just because some of the infrastructure is going to be much easier to pull. Crews are there. There's a lot of the design and development that is pretty much going to just transfer over, so we don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
So that also helped our costs a lot when we were planning on this phase two. So.
Will they keep the same project manager for Vega 2?
Yes. Yes. The head of NRP group that we were working with, Alistair Jenkins, has moved on to Gilbane, big Gilbane contract, which is massive. He took over there. So we got a new gentleman named Parker Wilson, and been fantastic to work with.
Yes.
And so that's been very easy, seamless transition. Alistair actually still keeps in touch with us on this one too. This was one of his babies, so he's very interested in it.
Any other questions for Ron or Suzanne?
We ask for approval of resolution number 12.
I move approval.
Second? 30 seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Madam Chair, there's no need for an executive session, and we can close South Congress PFC.
And we are closing it at 2:05 p.m.
To take a vote?
Oh, we'll take a vote. On closing or?
On closing.
Okay.
I move approval on closing.
Thank you, Gary. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Commissioner. Who motioned to approve?
He moved to that
second. Seconded by Commissioner. Thank you.
So if I'm correct, Mr. Gerber, we move now to SHCC.
Actually, ma'am, we would respectfully move to the HACA agenda to finish Vega 2. We ask that we move to the HACA agenda, item number 4.
Oh.
And Commissioner Chairman Apostolo, with your authority under item number 4, we would present, discuss, and possible action on resolution number 759, by the Board of Commissioners of HACA to take such actions as necessary or convenient to facilitate the development of Vega 2 multifamily housing development. They've asked for a motion to approve Resolution 2759.
So move.
Commissioner Carrington moves to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Duncan Hall seconds. All in favor, is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? You guys have it, and Vega 2 is perfect. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
Yes.
Commissioner, Commissioner Carrington, yes, if you'd like to go to Southwest Housing Compliance to close that, that would be great. Okay.
We will move to the board meeting, Southwest Housing Compliance Corporation. We've called the meeting to order. We have certified a quorum. Any public communication related to SHCC?
There is none.
If not, let's move to the consent agenda, which is approving the board minutes of March 24th, 2022.
I so move.
Thank you, Mary. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? There are no action items for SHCC. There is no need for an executive session.
We did go into, actually, we did go into executive session on SHCC.
Well,
but no,
we already have. We're not going again.
Yes, ma'am. No new one.
No new executive session. Okay. With that, then, do I hear a motion that we close the meeting of Southwest Housing Compliance Corp?
I so move.
And I will second. Okay, and that's at 2:37. A vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Then.
Madam Chair, we recommend going to Commissioner Carrington remaining in chair of Austin Affordable Housing Corporation and going to item number three, which would be Alistair Balcones in a new partnership with CDT.
Okay. Yep, Mayor. So under Austin Affordable Housing Corporation's agenda, this is item, it's resolution 00212. Is
correct.
That right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Right. Okay. 212, and it is looking for approvals to facilitate the acquisition of Alistair Balcones Apartments. Then the second part of this is to cause AAHC subsidiary, limited liability company, to own the development. Number three, cause the owner to enter into acquisition and development financing. And number four, cause AAHC and or the owner to execute any such documentation as necessary or desirable to consummate the transaction.
Okay. Ryan, thank you.
Sam, who's...
I'll take this one. Thank you, Commissioners. Thank you, Commissioner Carrington, as well. This is an opportunity that was presented to us to partner with, as you all are very familiar with, Community Development Trust, CDT, Joe Riley, Michael Lear. This is to purchase a 342-unit apartment complex called the Alistair Balcones Apartments. It's in an area where you haven't really done a whole lot around, and which was kind of an intrigue. It's very interesting to me. I know the area very well because we like a restaurant that's very close to this place, and we see it all the time. But this is located at the 12215 Hunter's Chase, kind of between Spicewood, 183 and Spicewood, and then up to the north would be Anderson Mill, kind of back there on Pond Springs Road. Very, very pretty project. It was built in 2007. Sits on a pretty large site, about 17 and a half acres. We've walked the property very carefully. It's got some great amenities. Again, as you've known, they all have great amenities, and we won't go into that. But one of the things that was interesting is the indoor, full-size indoor half basketball court, which is truly a full-size indoor basketball court, and it's massive. And it's very, very popular to the residents. They use it for workouts, for aerobics, for basketball in the winter. And in the summer, you're always someone in there. And it's kind of a unique thing that, I've never seen one that large. It is just truly.
I see some pickleball there.
That we talked about some ideas.
Pickleball there.
We we talked about different ideas, but we felt that the residents really appreciate the basketball stadium court, so they end up keeping that. Great schools over there. It feeds into Live Oak Elementary, Deer Park Middle School, which is very highly rated, and McNeil High School. So we're really excited about that. The property is about, as of when I wrote this summary, 99% occupied. I don't know what it is today, but I assume it's fairly similar. We have 148 one-bedrooms, 154 two-bedroom, two-baths, and 43 bedroom, two-baths. Once again, this will be affordable to minimum of 50% of the units, below 80, with 10% of those units at 60 to start. And as always, CDT is a great partner, always tries to see how we can do a little bit deeper and a little bit better. I will say we're in our due diligence period right now, very close to wrapping that up. We feel really good about moving forward, should we get approval from you today. I will say in our due diligence of the lease, all the leases, we've got about 63% affordable qualified already, so we're well above our quota to start, which is a good thing because it's a pretty good high opportunity area. And of those 63% of the units, 30% of those are families with children. So it's kind of a popular family site, which we kind of, I know Michael was very excited about that too. So we really felt good about all that. This will be a purchase price of $92,750,000. Of which Freddie Mac will be providing us with the first lien of, as I have on my summary, not to exceed $77 million. When we wrote this, we had to get this a little early. It's actually won't be above 69.5. So we've toned that down a little bit because we didn't know where rates were going to be and how things were going to fall out and where we were going to end up on the finance side. We chose Freddie Mac. We were able to get a 35-year amortization instead of a 30, and a much better interest rate with only 75% loan to value instead of 80, which we typically like to do. Our lender, CPC, is a nonprofit lender out of New York, and they're able, one of the only few lenders that's able to get us a small second lien to get more proceeds for us, which we felt was worth that instead of using our own dollars for. So we will also be having a second note here for $6 million, not to exceed $6 million. And there's some plans with CDT and HACA to do some things in the future that will probably take care of that second lien in the long term. So it won't be a very long-term second note, but it gives us some more ability to do more things with our cash. And we're still subject to a 120 debt coverage ratio and very, very tight scrutiny. So we're not over-leveraging ourselves. We're not in an uncomfortable position here. We've just got a much favorable opportunity to go on a 35-year amortization with the rate we got. And it'll be sub 4.5 in this market. It's pretty good. It's been very, very difficult watching the rates up and down.
We have
done maybe one or two. Most of what we've been doing lately is bridge financing, short-term bridge financing in order to close quicker. This is a unique one in that CPC is one of the only lenders that can get us a second on a agency debt, which I mean on through Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae, because they are a true nonprofit lender. We use them on the Rival and Ranch closing as well. They're very good at execution. And again, it's, you know, sometimes it's good to use someone else's money as long as it's, you know, within the realms of not getting us too highly leveraged or putting us in any bad position. So we feel very comfortable. We went back and forth with Annie and Freddie and felt this was our best option. So we're really, really excited about that. It will be called the Bridge App. Thank you, Dr. So this will be managed by our management company, Apartment Management Professionals. We'll take this one over as well. Good size units, good property, very good condition. Not a lot of deferred maintenance here at all. The units are beautiful inside. Great quality complex. I'm super excited about the location too. So.
And the units seem to be larger than average to me. I mean, is that true?
It is. It is. We, and it was one of the things that and why you see more families there. And even in the one bedrooms, they're able to put a larger, someone there, you're seeing more future families. And then the two bedrooms to be over 1,000 square feet to 1,300 is a large unit. Very nice living area, very spacious. They also have garage. We also have 82 garages that are attached there as well. So which is really neat. So people have a place to
still have open air parking.
Yes, we have covered parking as well. There's 81 car and 42 car, I believe, that have direct access to your unit. So you just walk in and you're into your unit. So kind of like an old townhome style look to it. Yeah, they're really nice.
How did this one come to us, Ron?
This was this was out for bid. And we were just competitive. We sold our mission. We had a little bit of relationship. This was owned by a group called Mill Creek Residential. They're out of Florida, I believe. I think Florida. And they kind of liked what they heard. They knew of CDT very well. Also looking at a quick execution, quality execution. So we were very fortunate that we got this one. Win some, lose some. And we've lost a couple. But this one came to us, and I'm really happy to partner with CDT on this one.
Mm-hmm. And on the lender, the CPC, did CDT bring those to us?
Or yes.
They introduced us on the Rivlin Ranch.
CPC also has some was an investor in their fund. They were one of their
CDT's
fund, correct?
Okay.
So we felt this would be a good mix for them. And plus, if we were going to go Freddie and do this, we really wanted to get the supplemental. And they were one of the only lenders that we could find. And they're very familiar with us now. And actually, the execution's going really smoothly. So
I do think you're
keeping a running balance of our partners and how many units are
right here.
Under each one of them.
Right here.
Reminder.
What are we going to do?
I don't have total.
We're going to have to give you magnifying glasses.
I don't have.
That's what I'm afraid of.
We don't have total.
Because it's getting kind of difficult already.
We might go to two pages. We might stretch out one and then the other.
No, we have to start go to four pages pretty soon.
Yes, we go to another.
Well, this is so exciting. I showed this to people when I went back to San Francisco for the past month.
Bragging
and looking at that market compared to ours, unbelievable.
Oh, wait, there's been some recent articles lately. I don't know if you saw the one just yesterday or the day before about, we're now at the highest in just from December to June. We saw another 11% bump in rents in Austin is now just skyrocketing despite the issues. And it's even making it harder for people below 80% and below 60 because even those rents are rising at those AMI levels and there's nowhere for them to go. And they're struggling with inflation and everything else that's happened, and so we're going to keep pounding our partners to do more on the sub 60 unit level,
and the city has to do more. I mean, a lot of cities now are looking at providing housing for first providers, teachers, etc.
Yeah.
And a lot of the teachers in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, are starting school with 20% vacancy in terms of teachers.
God.
And so they're trying now, a lot of those schools, to find property that they can build just for teachers. Can't afford to stay in the cities.
Yeah, I think you see here with AISD choosing not to do a housing bond, I think it reflects some degree of lack of confidence in when you have organizations that have instability at the top, when you have organizations that have instability within their boards, it's very hard to get big things done. And I think one of the testaments of our board has been the steadiness, the consistency, and the same is true with Ron and Suzanne, being just completely transparent and clear and resolute, and you know what they partner on and what they right. and what they don't. We're not all things to all people. We turn a lot away, but you know we've never not closed a deal. We've never given somebody our word and then had to back down off of it. We're very careful, and it's really just two extraordinary housers and backstopped by a really extraordinary board.
Well, we've got to reach a crisis situation, I'm afraid, in education. There was a poll that came out today saying that 70% of teachers are considering leaving the profession. 70%. That's on top of those that have already left.
They're almost as bad as HUD.
All right.
We would ask for approval of resolution number 212, authorizing AHCA to take actions necessary for the acquisition of Alistair Belcona's apartments.
So moved. Second. All those in favor?
Actually, Commissioner Kirby, you're in.
I can't. Sarah, you seconded. I heard that.
My mouth moved, but you're working.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, then last one, item number 4 under Austin Affordable Housing Corporation is resolution 00213, and this relates to facilitating the acquisition of the Rolling Oaks Apartments, cause AAHC subsidiary to own the development, and then cause the owner to enter into acquisition and development financing for the development, and cause AAHC or the owner to take to do other documentation as necessary to allow the consummation of this transaction. So with that, Ron.
Thank you. One more time, I appreciate all y'all's patience and understanding as we go through several of these. Thank you again. Again, this is a partnership with our friends, Belron Corporation. This will be, if should we get this approved, this will be our 11th transaction with them in the last
how many years? There's only been about four
year and a half. they've been really fantastic to work with, and they've really taken to heart Austin and itself, and they've got staff that, you know, moving down here now, and they're super excited about the direction that, you know, that they feel they can make a dent in. So this is a very large complex. It's 494 units. When we first saw this, we lost this bid, by the way. We lost this. We were at about, I think our bid was 141 million, and we lost it to a company out of Sweden that paid cash, 100% cash. About 3-4 weeks into the deal, they backed out. The sellers called us back and said, we're not going to anyone else. We should have gone with you. We knew you would execute this and close it. And we said, well, now we're only going to offer you $136 million. And so we saved about $8 million on this transaction. They said, we don't care. We just want you to close this. So we actually got this on a rebound deal. And what was intriguing is the map is there. That's MOPAC there to your left, north. If you go just a little bit further north, you hit 45 Toll. Mm-hmm. It's in a very, very, very neat, high opportunity area. Like I said, right on MOPAC, very close to so much, activity, from the domain to the tech centers, to the hospitals. It's a really, really unique property. And I really love the fact that we can get 494 units there. This is just north of, our property called Sweetwater, and a little bit further north of our Park at Summers Grove asset that we have there as well, which is all 60% units. So we were super excited to be able to jump back in and get this one. It was built in 2001. It's got some, you know, again, same old, you know, the same amenities are fantastic over there. The other intriguing thing is just to the south and to the west, about maybe less than a mile, is the Howard Metro Rail Station. And so it's very easy access to the rail. And from our due diligence out here, we uncovered that many, many, many people use that rail to go downtown from this complex. So that was a tremendous asset to the property. So that made it a little bit attractive to us as well. You've got a large number of one bedrooms, which is you have a lot of tech and tech and medical employees in this complex. 264 one bedroom one baths, 200 two bedroom two baths, and 33 bedroom two bath units. Great schools again. We're in the same school district as the Alistair Balcones, which feeds into McNeil, Deer Park, and Williams. Again, the property is about 97% occupied. We have about 64% of the units during our due diligence that are already qualified for affordability. So that was a good thing, given that we have a pretty high level of tech and very professional jobs here. The other thing I could share, I guess, with you again is 10% of these units are at 60% AMI. The rest will be at below 80. One nice thing with Belveron, prior to us getting closing or soon after, if we make this work and the financing comes out good, they tend to take 10% of the entire property and make it 60% instead of 10% of the affordable required units. So that's one of the stronger.
Start another little project.
Well, I love it when they do that, especially on large projects like this, where we can say we can deliver a minimum of 50% of the units at 10%. So at 60% AMI. So that's what they're very great partners about that, and they've stepped up to the plate with us many, many, many times. You know, this is going to be a Freddie Mac loan again that we're working with Berkadia on, and Berkadia has done several of our last deals with our Belveron partner. Again, great execution. We think we'll be sub 4.6. I put not to exceed there, but I think we're going to probably be in the probably right below 4.5 based on where we're at right now and the interest rate. And it's $136 million purchase price, of which we'll be borrowing $109 million. Large numbers, but lots of units. So when you look at the price per unit, it's really an affordable deal. I will say that all 494 units were renovated within the last 2 years, so we don't have any capital improvement expense on the interiors, and they were fantastically done. Beautiful new lighting, granite countertops, flooring, fixtures, everything. It looks really, really, really pretty. AMP will be managing this, and this will be called the Bridge at Rolling Oaks. And I'll answer any other questions.
Any other questions or any more questions for Ron? Great map on page 6 of 7 that shows...
Yes.
Employment centers.
Yes.
Area.
See everything around it. It's a really super high. I remember us always talking about trying to get west of 35 and out of it. Now this will be our third asset, target right there on MoPac in that corridor.
Right.
North of that area with Park at Summers Grove and with Sweetwater.
We ask for approval. Resolution 213.
I move. Second. Mary?
Yes.
Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, with that, there is no more business to come in front of the Housing Corporation. So at 3:00, I will adjourn the meeting of AAHC. I need a motion.
I move approval for closing.
Okay. Mary, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? AAHC closes at 3:00.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron and Suzanne, for all of your work. We appreciate it.
Thank you for
making it possible. Surprising.
Agency that is moving this fast, do you think that they're part?
Well, if there are, they're not as fun to work with as
well. That's
there
you go.
There are others that are moving fast, but they're not moving carefully. So,
right.
As an example, Houston Housing Authority, which, won't make pass any judgment, but yeah, they went before, 40 deals?
42 deals in one quarter.
Yeah. Whoa.
And
what kinds of transactions?
Every multifamily
acquisitions
through the PFC structure program.
And that'll start to catch up on you. Our due diligence and system of being careful, wanting to be strategic about where we are, making sure that it's a good return for our agency and for our residents and benefits our clients, is exactly where we want to be. We're not all things to all people, and we're not desperate to do a deal. So I would suggest we quickly go to the HACA agenda. We'll ratify at the HACA agenda those two remaining items. So, Madam Chair, with your indulgence, we'll turn to item number 5, which is resolution number 2760 by the Board of Commissioners of HACA to take the following actions with regard to Alistair Valcona's apartments in Austin: 1, to acquire the site of the development; 2, to lease the development site to the owner of the development; and 3, any other actions necessary to carry out this resolution. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Commissioner Carrington moves to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Duncan Hall seconds. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it, and the motion is approved. Item number 6, we would ask you to consider action on possibly on resolution numbers 2761 by the Board of Commissioners of HACA to take the following actions with regard to Rolling Oaks Apartments in Austin, Texas: 1, to acquire the site of the development; 2, to lease the development site to the owner of the development; and 3, such actions necessary or convenient to carry out this resolution with respect to Rolling Oaks Apartments. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Commissioner Carrington moves to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Duncan Hall seconds. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Item number 6 is approved. That's the last item that we had on the agenda. There's no need for an executive session beyond the one we already had. It's where there's a point where we're dealing with reports. I'll share with you a couple of thoughts, but while we have our CFO here, Barbara Chen, I thought, Barbara, is there anything you'd like to highlight with respect to finance? I know you didn't have a formal report to give. Is there anything while you're here that I know it's always good for the board to hear from you? Is there anything that you'd like to share? Generally, things are in good stead, but I don't want to put you on the spot, but anything that immediately is like top of mind?
Not really. Yes, the regular and our regular ordinary, revenue and expenses. And as you can see, we continue to have some surplus. Thanks, biggest one, thanks for Ron's and also for our SHCC. So those two departments really bring help with our operation, everything. So far, as you can see that in the full package, we saw that we continue to have a surplus a net income for 3 months of our operation. We had one quarter we had $1.35 million in reserve. Most of the reserve, pretty much that this one is unrestricted, so this is going to kind of add that to our unrestricted reserve. But I believe that you also have the package that was highlighted with all the details. And the only thing we are really have some increase compared to the budget, but overall we are kind of still under our operating expense is still under our budget. So we are in very good standing point, in a very good position with that $1.3 million. Mm-hmm. Surplus for the first quarters.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'd say Barbara is really in the middle of an awful lot of complexity, and for being here for only for a year and a half or so, has brought incredible value to how we think about efficiencies and what we need. And having seen other agencies, getting out of sort of the this is the hop way of doing it, thinking about really what the industry requires and how we, can do better. And parts of that are good and parts of that are hard as we think about sort of, what the model looks like. It's tough, but at the end of the day, you come down to what can you afford to do, and how do you put those dollars to the best use? And so I'm grateful to Barbara for.
I think we have a very long-term vision of the plan for the agency. We plan out very well now for the future, like that we purchase all the launch, the purchase activity that helps support the agency a lot, and that's great.
At the next board meeting, we'll do a fuller report from Barbara. But since she was having to stick her head in, I thought I'd ask her to say a quick word. Any questions for Barbara?
Well, Commissioner, I know you had a question about what percentage our salaries are, and you said about 53% of the budget.
Yeah, the
premium benefits.
The our according to budget, if I remember the number, but if you just consider our salary only is about 34% of our total budget, our salary expenses compared to our total administrative budget and operating budget is about 34%. But if you add the benefit to it, it was what,
53.1.
53, yes.
Okay.
So, is that including Southwest Housing revenue?
Agency wise. I'm talking about agency.
So it is lower than educational institutions, but at the same time, it's very significant. With the benefits.
I'm sorry. I heard that the school district here, they are about 85% for their operating. The budget is about, it's in employee salary and benefits. So we are not there yet, but with agency wise, we are, yes, we no.
Barbara, if we took out...
It shows you what kind of flexibility you have when you have that much tied up in salary.
If you took out Southwest Housing, what would that number be?
Let me take a look. I have to run the number. I don't have the number on the test.
Because I think Southwest sets it off.
Mm-hmm.
Some, doesn't it? Because of when you factor Southwest in. We'll get you a better number.
Okay.
Well, this is something for us to consider as we go through this.
We'll do that.
I always like to know what kind of options we have, how much flexibility we have.
But it's like, you know, it all depends. Actually, my experience, the larger housing authority, the burden of the salary, cost is a little bit higher than the smaller housing authority, because smaller housing authority have to find a balance. So they a lot of small housing authority. It's different. It's different. But I think if I remember correctly, DC was pretty close to our number.
Mm.
If I remember very close, it's very close to our numbers. Yeah. So.
Thank you,
Barbara.
Thank you. Sylvia, is there anything you want to add under the president's report?
Comes to mind. I just want to thank the board for your support and approval of the Rosenwood Courts redevelopment. It's been a decade of work, and so I'm just very excited about having this approval today, and I will breathe easier as I said Will Henderson once the closing is done, hopefully next month.
A lot of people did a lot of work on Rosewood Courts. Sylvia, we would not be where we are were not for Sylvia's leadership, and I'm so grateful to her.
It was a team effort for sure. And I will say just very quickly, we are working with Six Square to plan a this meeting of the leadership, but a lot of community leaders in East Austin to sort of envision the way we can activate and program the Welcome Center space at Rosewood Court. So I'll be very excited to report back. That will be on September 2nd.
I think it is so important for that property, especially to have a great deal of community involvement and community support, as it's always been. That's the wee bit of tension, and so that sooner we can do that and get them all involved, the better.
Couldn't agree more.
We're excited to be partnered with them. I want to let you all know a couple of dates. Commissioner Bailey, I want to make sure you get some dates as well. So we are looking in September. We have scheduled on September 14th at 9 a.m. with Councilmember Kitchen, a grand opening of Goodrich. This won't be on the same scale as we did the grand opening of Chalmers. As you know, Goodrich has been open now for for quite a while, and it's fully occupied. But we do think it's important to celebrate that property, and Carlton has just taken that property over to serve as the management team on our behalf. And so we're going to be doing a big ribbon cutting, and we'll be doing we have a new flagpole to celebrate. And we've also lost a couple of residents, and so we're going to plant a tree or some sort of memorial to commemorate the loss of those residents as well. So I hope you'll join us on Wednesday the 14th at 9 a.m., and hope you can be there. And then that Thursday, the very next day, Thursday the 15th, will be our board meeting. Our regular board meeting is scheduled, and so we will provide the ability to do this virtually again on the 15th, although we encourage folks to the extent that you are able to come in. We would like for you to be here, but I know that there are some board members who may not be able to be here. I'll also remind folks that the board does meet every third Thursday of the month, and so with the exception of March, because that's spring break month, and we have found that too many people have issues with that third Thursday, and so we make it the fourth Thursday. But other than that, it's pretty set. So we're going to send out reminders to folks so you all have that. But we are anticipating a fair number of events coming up over the next 120 days. We really want to convey to folks that we do important things in affordable housing. We'll probably have a couple of grand openings of properties that have been acquired through Ron and Suzanne's portfolio. And we'll probably do, of course, Goodrich and some other things to just let leaders know, both elected and non-elected, that, others have been sitting out the pandemic. We've been working awfully, awfully hard. And so, we want to celebrate some of that and show the difference that affordable housing is making and that HACA is making. So stay tuned and get excited a little bit about that.
What's the groundbreaking?
And the groundbreaking, of course, for Rosewood Court. As we get that scheduled. Yep. We're excited about that.
Do we know more or less the month?
Probably October. Early November, maybe. It'd be nice to the end of October.
Yeah.
Weather would be better. Yeah. Anything on the clinic? At Farmers?
I think it's probably going to be spring of next year.
Okay.
Yeah. So 23, they had some issues with Austin Energy. Electricity.
We're twisted arms.
Okay.
Chairman Afsala, with your indulgence, I think we have completed the reports, and I think we're ready to, unless there are any other comments, we're ready to adjourn.
Hey, Mike, I've got one other thing, and it's just, don't need to talk about it today, but just something to keep in mind. It really bothered me that up in Denton, there was a HOA that decided they weren't going to take any more Section 8 housing people. And I don't know where the courts are with it now, but that could be a real problematic issue.
Well, and if that happens, we were disappointed to see that. So the attorney, someone that Commissioner Carrington and I know well, a guy named Mike Daniel, who he led the charge on the Olmstead case, and he led the case of Inclusive Communities versus TDHCA, and is a first-rate attorney, and he's on that case. I think hopefully that'll send a shockwave through the system that if you want to have discriminatory renting practices, you're going to face formidable opposition. And
that was certainly my first thing, but I think the court, at least the early decision, may not have agreed with us. So anyway, just something to keep in mind.
No, thanks for reminding. Well, is there anything else for the common good to come before the board today?
Okay, so we will adjourn the state. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
Give it to Carrington.
Carrington moves to adjourn.
Sorry.
Duncan Hall, second. All in favor?
All in favor.
Was it okay that I made the motion?
Yes. This one, yes.
Yes, that one.
And we're adjourned at 3:15. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.